We are in 1 John chapter 4, and Tim, if you could play that video for us.
Chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that the seed of your word would find fertile soil upon our hearts, Lord. Lord, that we would not just pick and choose which verses that we like to believe, but Lord, that all of your word would penetrate our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past several weeks, we've been going through 1 John. This epistle, like I said, you know, at the beginning and throughout, is for believers. It is not, you know, it is not written to non-believers. It is written for believers, those who are believers in Christ. And so John is continuing to teach us how to live in the light. The past weeks we've talked about he implores us to walk in him, to walk with him, and to, as you do that, to walk in the new man, like we talked about last week. This week, he gives us a warning. This is also how to live in the light, how to walk in the light. But he implores us, he gives us a warning to try the spirits. All right? To try the spirits. And so, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Well, we need to realize this is a command. This is not something that we can just, you know, pick and choose and say, well, I want to believe that, and I don't want to believe that. Here's the connotation is that he's telling us that obviously that he says, believe not every spirit. What does that mean? The other side of it would be is that although you have Christians out there believing every spirit that's out there. And so he's telling you not to believe every single spirit that is out there. He says, believe not every spirit, and he says to try the spirits. When he says try the spirits, it doesn't mean to try them out. It doesn't mean like, oh, okay, that's a demonic spirit. Let's go over there and just talk to that one. This is not about Miss Cleo. This is not about all these different, you know, false, you know, religions that are out there. When he says try, he says to try the spirits, it's to make the trial, to put to proof, to examine as metals are by fire. If you have a metal out there like silver, they will try to purify that silver. How? They heat it up. They put it on trial to try and get all the impurities out. They try to figure out what God's word. So what we need to do is we need to take God's word and we need to try the spirits. Now, the unfortunate thing is that as being known as a Pentecostal church, the Pentecostal church is more, has missed this one. Let me just put it that way. We think that every time that a preacher or an evangelist comes in and they say they got the Spirit, well, they got a Spirit, but it ain't the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Spirit. And they'll come in, and not every single one. And that's one of the things that, you know, myself and my wife, we try to make sure that when people come in to preach here, that they are, you know, preaching a familiar spirit. If you don't know what a familiar spirit is, that's in the Old Testament. You know, it talks about them in the Old Testament, but it's also, how many of you know that the Old Testament is just as valid today as the New Testament? You can't pick and choose. We talked about last week. We said there are people out there that say that the Old Testament no longer applies, that we don't have to follow the Ten Commandments because that's Old Testament. That I just got to follow what's in the New Testament. I would actually beseech you that the Old Testament is what we need to follow, not necessarily, you know, to the T, but is actually the common, you know, that right there tells us how it is, and the New Testament is the commentary on it, of how to interpret it. All right? And so I'm not saying that, you know, you got to go around, you know, with the, you know, curly Qs coming down and everything else because they tell you not to shave your sideburns and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you that there is stuff in there to show us how to live, of how to do things. But why would John give us such a command? Why would he do it? Like I said, it's because at that time, and even more so, there were probably believers believing every, you know, somebody came along and said, I got the Holy Spirit. And they weren't trying it. So he's telling them, believe not every spirit. You need to try them. You need to put them on trial. Because why? Because there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world. That's the reason why. There are many false prophets. There are many false preachers out there that go around there and say, this is what God's word does. And what they do is they use a theological term called eisegesis. You know what that means? It has nothing to do with Jesus, by the way. Is they isolate a verse and make it say what it wants to say instead of putting it into context. They don't read the entire letter of 1 John. They don't take, you know, they don't read Scripture as a whole. They pick and choose what they want to believe, and they say, that's it. And we'll get into some of those here in a moment. One of them I'll just bring up is Mormonism. Do you know the reason why Mormons believe that you should have a whole lot of children? Which children are a blessing of the Lord. That's not a problem. They're an inheritance. That's what the Bible says. They are a blessing. But the reason why they believe that is because, I believe it's in 1 Timothy, it says that women can only be saved through childbearing. They take that verse and say, okay, ladies, you better give me a whole lot of children. That's why they believe in polygamy, having a whole bunch of wives. They say, you better give me a whole lot of children or else you're not going to get a spot on my planet. That's what they believe out of that one verse. They got all of that from that one verse. But what do you do with the ladies that, you know, are not able to have children? They're not important. I mean, that's kind of the way that they view them, is that this is totally a man-made religion, and I emphasize man-made because it's the fact that you can have multiple wives, and whichever wife is the best, she's going to give them the most children. Anyways, I'll come back to them, you know, here in a little bit. But how do we test? How do we try them? Is we take their teaching, whatever the false prophet, false teacher, whatever they're teaching, and we test it against what God's word says. This is the only way that we can try the spirits, is by God's word. And if we don't know God's word inside and out, you say, well, I'm just a new believer. Well, you know what? Like I say, we just need to get into God's word. Don't make excuses for why you don't know what God's word says. I mean, it's not like God's saying, okay, well, there's an exam right now. You better get all this right. But he is saying that we need to study his word and memorize it and know it. So whether it's day one for you or day I don't know, say 1 million. I don't even know if that's even possible. I think, you'd be, you know, day 1 million, I think everybody would be dead. But anyways, we need to know God's word. We need to study it. That's what he's imploring us to do, is to know God's word so we can try the spirit, so we can test the spirits. Never feel intimidated or guilty because you question and investigate Christianity. Never feel intimidated or guilty because you question what a preacher says. Because here's the thing. If you're a believer in Christ, your spirit is going to bear witness, and it's going to cause a check in your spirit, and you're going, I don't know where, maybe you don't know where it is in the Bible, but you know it's in there, and you're going, that doesn't jive. That doesn't go with it. That's not God's word. I mean, one of the biggest things that we should be able to, you know, to figure out, you know, with that is that when we're questioning things is are they using Scripture? Do they use Scripture? I mean, that should be like a number one thing. If you see somebody not using Scripture at all, but they're saying this is from the Bible or something, it's kind of a red flag going, hello, this is not of God. All right? But anyways, we need to try the spirits by the Bible. So what did the Bible teach? It says, believe not every spirit. The Bible is not going to tell you to do something that contradicts itself. That should basically make sense. It's not going to tell you, okay, go over here and do this, but yet, you know, the Bible, you know, yet over here it says not to do that. The Bible's not going to contradict itself. It says, believe not every spirit. This is the reason why, because, and why we need to know God's word, is because throughout Scripture we even see this happening, and it's even more prevalent now. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. What does that mean? It means that basically the simple, you know, believe every single word that's coming out. Because they call themselves a Christian, they call themselves a believer, I'm going to believe every single word. But it says the prudent man looketh well to his going. Basically, it's, I want to go to heaven, I'm going to be prudent, and I'm going to follow what God's word says. I'm going to be diligent, I'm going to follow what this says. That we don't believe every single word that comes out of somebody's mouth. I've asked over the past 4.5 years that we've been here, if I'm preaching something wrong, approach me about it. But you better bring Scripture. And I don't say that as like a threat. I'm just saying, like, don't come up and say, well, my opinion is, or I think that this, I want Scripture to back it up. Because to me, if it's not with Scripture, then I'm sorry. Our opinions don't matter. It's God's word. Jeremiah 5:31 says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Here's the problem with this verse in Jeremiah's day. It says the prophets are prophesying falsely. It says, by their means. And it says, and my people love to have it so. So it's not even the fact that they're prophesying falsely and all of a sudden God's people says, oh, this is wrong. It's the fact that they love it. They're hearing it and they're going, oh man, this is good stuff. And what does he say? He says, what will ye do in the end thereof? It's basically, it's leading them astray. Jeremiah 29, verses 8 through 9 says this, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken, that word just means give ear to or listen to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you. In my name, I have not sent them, thus says the Lord. There are ones that will come and say that they have a message from God. They'll say, hey, I mean, this is one of the biggest things that, you know, that I believe I've heard over the past decade. What's your dream? What's your dream? Because that's what God's given you as a dream. Not necessarily. Because your dream could be totally contradictory to what God said, asks you to do. God wants you to be faithful in preaching the gospel and telling people about him. But there are ones out there saying, you know, they have this idea and mindset that the will of God is something hard and difficult to figure out. But some of the times, you know, God, you know, says, hey, you're going to be a preacher. Other times you say, you're going to be a farmer. A lot of times you say, hey, you're going to go work over at Pilot. All of those are fine with the Lord. But here's the thing. He wants you to be faithful while you're there. I believe that if I was not faithful to God's word, you would be looking for a new pastor. Right? Doug agrees with me. I see Brother Doug over there. He's like, yep, you know, if you're not faithful, he's like, you're out of here, buddy. No. He didn't say all that, but, you know, the thing is that, and I believe that you wouldn't be coming here on Sunday morning, so you can say, well, you know what, he misses God sometimes. He's unfaithful to preach it, but you know what, I'm here just to see him. I hope that you're not here for that reason. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, which privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. He's saying, you know what? This is going to happen in the midst of you while you're at church, that false teachers, false prophets are going to come into the church. They're going to come in. And that's why us as believers need to, you know, sit there and have discernment. That's one of the things that I believe that the modern church doesn't have, or has a lack thereof, is discernment. They believe that every single person that calls himself a Christian, they go to the Christian bookstore, they go over here or they're there or whatever, and they say, you know what? They're popular. That must be what's right. No, you're supposed to discern. You can have the most popular preacher out there, and he has missed the boat. And he's missed it. Here's the other end of that spectrum. I've heard presidents, or I don't know, in the Assemblies of God, it's the general superintendent, but he didn't say this. But presidents of denominations or general superintendents of the head honcho in that area for that denomination, all right, have come out and preached directly against what God's word says and says, you know what, we need to be more tolerant. And God's word is directly opposed to what they're preaching. I can give you examples, and maybe I'll do that here in a few weeks. We need to try the Spirit by their fruits. We need to try by his fruits. We need to try that false prophet, you know, whatever, by their fruits, what's coming out of their life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20 says, beware of false prophets. Here's the thing. Why would the Bible keep telling us to beware of false prophets, false teachers, false whatever? Why? Because they're there. They're out there. This is not just in Bible times. This is throughout history. Satan is always trying to get people to not follow Jesus Christ. We're not something special because we're in America, and we're like, oh, we're in America, so we'd have no false prophets or teachers. Everything that calls himself, no. He's telling us this because he knows all the way up until he comes back, the second coming, and we go be with him, it's going to be a problem. Back to Matthew 7, verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their, what, fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth fruit or good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. He's just saying, you know, just because a person, oh, misses the boat one time, you know, eventually they'll get it. Hopefully, they'll realize what they're doing, you know, that they're lying and everything else. But I believe that, honestly, these false prophets know what they're doing, and they don't care. Their only purpose is that they want people to be deceived and not to follow Jesus Christ. Some fruit is judged by its appearance, but not by all. Sometimes you'll have a preacher, teacher, prophet get up there or whatever, and I'm using, you know, a lot of those synonymously. You know, a lot of them are very, very close together in meaning. But the thing is that sometimes you can go and say, that's not of God, and just look at them and just know. But other times, it's not going to happen. Sometimes you may have to watch a tree for a while. You're going to have to watch them and see what they do and figure out, is that of God or not? Because some are really, really good about it. Why does it say? It says there are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're going to disguise themselves. They're going to sit there and maybe give all the answers that are right and everything else, but when they try to get that young sheep, that young lamb, one-on-one, then that's going to go, hey, you know what they're talking about. That's not right. And they start, you know, kind of coming in and saying, you don't have to do all that. You can do whatever you want to do. You can do this. I mean, it's, and that's the mindset nowadays. How many times have you driven down the road and saw a billboard that says, be you? The last time I was myself, I was deep in, you know, deep in sin and wickedness, and I was on my, you know, on my way to hell. Because you know what? I didn't, you know, for one thing, I hated myself, and I didn't want to. That's the last time I was me. But the thing is that I follow Jesus Christ, and I want to be like him. There's so many of them, and it sounds so positive. Oh, be you. Just be how you are. Yes, I mean, I believe that God has created individuals and individuality. But the thing is that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Don't follow what your heart says. Follow what God's word says. If you're not looking like Jesus, if you're not walking as he walked, as we talked about a few weeks ago, then there's something wrong. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What is in your heart is going to come out. If there's a false prophet, a false teacher, it's going to come out eventually. They can only hide it for so long before it's going to come out. That's what we need to realize, is that sometimes we need to watch people before we just like, ooh, man, I'm on board with whatever they're saying. It doesn't go against God, you know. And there's sometimes what they'll do is they'll take a piece of scripture. By the way, I'm only in verse 1. They'll take a piece of scripture, and they'll sit there and, you know, and just, and it'll sound biblical. They'll be through the, you know, a whole sermon, you know, going, oh, this sounds biblical. But watch what they do. Watch their life. The need is great today to test or to try the spirits, for false teaching is of Satan. It's not a oopsie-daisy. It's not a, oh, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. False teaching is of Satan. I believe there's a reason why that there is, that there's so many denominations. Because each one basically probably started off somewhat good. They probably were a part of, you know, one denomination, and then they argued and they didn't like it, and they didn't take it the way the scripture says as far as to try the spirit, and then they begin to split. What we need to do is get back to God's word. For me, even if the Assemblies of God is wrong on something, I'm going to go with what God's word says. And you could look at that, oh, he's a good, no, I'm not. But I'm saying, if they are wrong on it, I'm going to follow what God's word says, not what the Assemblies of God says. My heart, everything I do is before the Lord. I can't sit here and say, you know what, well, the Assemblies of God, they can miss it. They can miss it. I don't want you guys going all there, all of a sudden calling, you know, Pastor Miller and saying, well, he just said he was against you. No, I just said that if they are wrong about it, and God's word is plain about it, I'm going to preach what God's word says, and not preach what they say. There are those that are teaching salvation other than grace by, grace through faith, and what it is doing is lulling the people to have this false sense of security. God's word says that we are saved what? By grace through faith. Lest any man should, you guys know the verse? Remember, the disturbing message of Jesus is what led him to the cross. It wasn't the fact that Jesus was telling every, in next week, this is only, we're only doing, part of First John chapter 4. Next week, we'll do the second half of it. But what, Jesus didn't preach this lovey-dovey message that everybody thinks nowadays. He did tell us to love one another, but he was speaking of believers. If Jesus was telling everybody that, you know, I just love you, you can just do whatever you want to do, do you think that they would have killed him? No, they would have like, just, hey, come on over here, you're the greatest thing ever, like they do with other religions. But Jesus didn't preach just this happy-go-lucky, a message of saying, you know what, whatever you want to do is just fine with me, I'm just good with you. It was actually, it disturbed them. That's the reason why they got mad enough to crucify him. They say, there's many times, I mean, there was times where they wanted to beat him. There was times they wanted to throw him off a cliff. There was times, I mean, Does that sound like a loving message to you? I mean, somebody tells me they love me. I'm like, oh, you better just, I'm going to throw you in the river. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Jesus spoke the truth no matter what the people's preconceived ideas or thoughts or lifestyles were. He didn't sit there and say, oh, well, you know what? It's your choice. You can just do whatever you want. Yeah, it is your choice, but you need to give your life to him. And then God cleans them up afterwards, right? Sometimes people don't realize that when they hear stuff and from God's word, they're going, I didn't even realize that wasn't God's word. I better change that. There's a way that you could tell when you come to a person with God's word, they don't come with the attitude, well, that's your interpretation, but they go, ooh, that hurts, but you know what, I'm going to change it. That's the difference, is that I've met people and I've come to them with scripture. And they'll say, well, that's your interpretation. I was like, it's not my interpretation, that's scripture. I'm just reading the Bible to you. That's your interpretation. But if you go to someone and you read what God's word says, and they're going, ooh, man, that hurts, but I know what you're speaking is true. I know that's God's word, and I need a change. That's a sign of a true believer. How do we test the spirits? Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. It says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is in the world. Is it in the world? Yes. So what we need to realize is that it's already there. We already know this. John's saying that there's a belief in the incarnation of Christ is necessary. We need to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth fully God and became fully man. We need to believe that. He's saying that is necessary to believe. There's no debate about it. But there are some out there that teach something a little different, and it sounds good, though. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus, and all these ones teach that basically Jesus didn't exist until he was born in a manger. They deny the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. They deny his deity. That's what that means. They deny who he is. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that you can become a god because they believe that God the Father did to Jesus. That Jesus wasn't God, that he never was God, and that God made him God, made him a God, and so that means that you can become a God, that anybody can. It's a little similar to Mormons in that fact. Mormons teach that you can become a God, too, but like I said, that men, ladies, sorry, you don't get your planet, you just hope that you're good enough for your man, that he'll allow you to come to that planet and let you live with him. Out of 20, 30, 40 wives that he has. So you better be a good one. Just saying. Like I said, man-made religion right there. You could definitely tell that that's man-made. And then there's one out there, they're called modalists. They call themselves Christians, but they believe that Jesus didn't exist until he was born in the manger on Christmas Day. Jesus has always been. He always is. And here's the thing, is that we need to realize that he has always been. Jesus has always been. He didn't just, oh, there he is. If you read the Old Testament and you have the idea of the Trinity in your mind, you will understand that he has always been, that he has always been there. I mean, why else would Madrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, hey, there's one in here who looks like the Son of God? There's times throughout the Old Testament that you see Jesus in the Old Testament. And the only way it could be explained is because you read it and you go, it says angel of the Lord, but that sure sounds like Jesus, because it is him. He's causing himself to be seen even back then. It's always been by faith that he wanted people to believe upon him. There are those that say that Jesus was only a teacher or a prophet like the Muslims do. The Muslims believe that he was just a prophet, which they give him a lot more than most people, which think that he was a good teacher or this humanitarian, this other one, but They don't believe that he's the Son of God. The Bible teaches that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says this, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses or sin unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It says that God was in Christ. There was a time when Jesus left heaven and took on flesh. He became every whit a man, fully God and fully man. You and I have a beginning, right? That's why we celebrate our birth dates. But God does not. God has no beginning. He has no end. He has always been, always was, and always is, and always will be. But here's the thing for us, if we are believers in Christ, we have no end. Because we get to, whereas we have a beginning, we don't have an end, because we get to spend all of eternity with him. John is simply saying in this portion, to deny the incarnation of Christ is of Jesus is antichrist. Some of these would say that they believe in it, but when they teach it or live it, they would not even believe it. Because no one's going to say that, I believe that Jesus has always been, And then when they teach, they'll teach you something totally and completely differently. The spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world. The evil and evil teachings are directed by a satanic spirit. Satan, or the spirit of Antichrist, he mimics, he mocks, he copies everything that God is and does. Do you guys realize that? Because even since, in Isaiah chapter, I think it's, I want to say Isaiah 7, but I can't remember. He even says that he wanted to become God. He wanted to become like God. He wanted to basically take over heaven. Everything about him, he wants to mimic and mock him because he wants everything to be about him. And so maybe in a few weeks I may do this one, is that he actually even has an unholy trinity. That he even mocks and mimics God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe I will. I don't know. We'll see. Here's the nature of the test. How many of you heard, here's the thing, is I don't understand why Christians shy away from this test. Why Christians don't want to put in the time and the effort to read God's word to figure out, is this of God or not? The only thing I can come up with is that we live in a microwave generation, that we want things now. Even our commercials, that one with, was it J.D. Wentworth or whatever? It's my money, I want it now. Everything about us, we want it now. There's no, everything is about instant gratification. If we want an app on our phone, what do? We do right now. I want it now. Oh, man, this internet is so stinking slow. It took me 5 seconds to download that. We want everything right now. But for us to take time in God's word, because just to study it, to know it, is going to take time. It's going to take us, here's a novel thought, we might have to turn off the television for a little bit. We might have to actually, we put everything else in our schedule. Maybe put into our schedule saying, this time I'm going to devote to studying the scripture and making sure that what I'm believing is correct. But we usually, this is usually what I've heard. Oh, well, they don't believe like us, but they're all going to the same place. That's a universalist idea. When I say universalist, I can actually insert this word in there, a very Catholic idea, because that word Catholic actually means universal. They want to call themselves the universal church. The Pope the other day was over in Iraq telling Muslims, hey, you know what, we're all the same. We're all going to, you're all sort of the same God. It's just different ways. He's also come along with, other, royal leaders and said, we're all the same. No matter, you don't even have to believe in Jesus. You don't even have to believe in God. You can just go because you're a good person. That's why I find it strange when I see people comment, Bible-believing Christians comment, hash, Pope Francis. I don't understand that. There was a reformation that happened to break ourselves from the Catholic Church, and now it's all of a sudden like the church is like, oh, you know what? We're sorry. My bad. We're sorry that we actually had that reformation thing that actually gave us the Word of God, so we could actually study these things. So, I mean, it's just along those lines. I mean, we just have this idea that somehow it's our fault that the Catholic Church was keeping the Scriptures from us. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just read about the Reformation and you'll hear about all that history where there was people actually being killed and martyred, for the Word of God because they actually said, you know what, I think every believer, every person has a right to this. And they died so you can have it. So maybe, let's get into our minds that we should not take it for granted that we have God's Word. Let's contrast between Christians and false prophets. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Who are they? The Antichrists. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit and the spirit of error. Christians are of God. That's what the Bible teaches. This is going to be very simplistic. Christians are of God. They are born of God. The Bible says that we are to be born again. We are born of God. It says also, the Spirit of God indwells in Christians is greater than Satan. Remember, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. There's no need for us to fall into sin as the Lord leads us. If we walk in the light, if we're walking in the Spirit, then we're not going to fall into sin, right? This is why John is imploring us to believe not every spirit, because if we're walking in the Spirit, we're following after God, this is not going to happen. That we're not going to believe every spirit. We're going to have, our spiritual radar on going, that's not right, that's not right. Now you don't have a judgmental spirit and be like, oh, I just, just going around at everybody. And, because I've met, some people that don't even leave their houses because they're like, every single church is horrible out there. Sometimes it's hard to find a good church, but the thing is that there are them out there. Like I said, we need to study, we need to read, and we need to know His Word. That's what Christians do. That's what Bible believers do. And we share God's Word with people because we want to see people saved. False prophets are in the world. They speak of the world. Oftentimes they look like the world. That goes as far as even, dress in their language and everything else. They're just all about that. The world hears them, for they speak what the world wants them to hear. And like I said earlier, they say, well, that's your interpretation of the Bible when you're directly reading from Scripture. They're going to sit there and tell you, well, that's just your interpretation. A Christian hears the true prophets of God, the true preachers of God. They are led of the same Spirit. The world rejects the message of God, the world as a whole. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error can be determined by their reaction to the message of God as it comes from God's messenger. Basically meaning, if you're going out there and you're preaching the gospel and they're saying, I don't believe that because that's your interpretation when you're reading out of God's word, like I said, or the fact that they say, that hurts, but I know that's God's word. The Bible teaches that we are either Christ's or Antichrist's. That's pretty harsh. That sounds pretty mean. And just because your child is acting a little bit foolish does not mean that they're an Antichrist, all right? I don't know why somebody would want to say, that child, he's just of the devil. I've heard people say that. I'm like, ooh, why would you want to even say that to your child or even about your child? I mean, it just doesn't sound right. So which are you? You can be Christ today. You don't have to follow the ways of this world. You can follow what God's word says. You can be a believer in Christ. You can follow him. You can know him. Because let me tell you, the people that are in here that are believers, that are followers of him, they started somewhere. They weren't always believers in Christ. I wasn't always a believer in Christ. I wasn't a believer in Christ until I was almost 21. Some of you say, I wasn't a believer in Christ until later on. Some say, you know, like my wife, she was, what, five? And for those that, you know, like my wife, that, you know, that got saved at age, you know, five or, you know, right around there, don't ever say that you don't have a testimony. Don't ever say you don't have a testimony. You have one of the best ones, because here's the thing. You said, you know what, I trust Jesus even earlier in life, and I didn't have to go through all the junk that other people did, like myself. I went through a lot of stuff. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why is John, and more importantly, the Bible warning us, warning believers to try the spirits? Because it's possible for believers not to try the spirits and get themselves in trouble. That's why he's telling us this. He's saying, as a believer in Christ, you walk in the light. Try the spirits. Don't believe everything that's out there. Don't sit there and say, oh, just because this is Christian programming on TV, that it has to be. You need to try the spirit. You need to say, you know what, are they right? There are churches out there right now that make, you know, all kinds of money. And they are false, fake churches. Why? Because the world's going in there saying, you know what, they're letting my itching ears hear what I want to hear. And I said, as believers in Christ who believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we oftentimes fail in this area of trusting or trying the spirits. We do. Because we just want to give the benefit of the doubt. I don't think that's found in Scripture. I never heard that phrase in Scripture, give them the benefit of the doubt. No, it says believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. That's what we need to do. We need to be discerning. There's a difference between being critical of what the person's preaching and testing. On essential doctrines and everything else, do we believe the same thing, like salvation, that it's grace through faith? Do we believe, you know, like on those things, like, do we believe the same thing? Those are essential things. There are other doctrines out there that we may disagree on, but the essential ones. Don't get yourself in trouble by believing every single spirit that comes out, every single teacher that comes out, just because they all of a sudden they're making money and they're on TV or on YouTube. I say that as we're recording to YouTube. Think about it. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. A year ago, we were not online. And this year, we are online. It's amazing what a year can do and change things. But I believe as we see not only America, but the world as a whole getting darker and darker and darker and more crazy and crazy, because you say, how could somebody even believe that? The Bible says that it's going to happen. And I would say, I would beg you, if you're waiting, like saying, oh, I'm going to wait 20, 30 years when I got my life, you know, straight and everything else, don't wait. Today is the day of your salvation. Don't sit there and wait and say, you know what, I'm going to go. The Bible is the word of God. And as believers, like I say, as believers, we are to try, but you know, to test the spirits. We are to try the spirits. But if you are not a believer, don't sit there and wait and say, you know, follow Satan's lie of saying, well, you can do that in 10, 15 years when you have kids and your life is straight. How many people from your high school class are 100% of them still alive? I can guarantee that there's at least one that has passed away and thought that, you know, earlier on than what everybody else thought.